Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid a foundation, another build thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not, or don't you all know, that you all, ye in the King James, that's one of the advantages of the King James, ye means plural. We've lost our English language, has deteriorated somewhat, but ye there means plural. All of you church members at Corinth, take note and realize. Or do you realize, you people at Corinth? And I might say this morning, do you realize, people here at Victory Church, members of this church, know you not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now keep in mind, there are places where the Apostle Paul talked about our bodies being a temple, housing the Holy Spirit. But here in this particular passage of Scripture, he is talking about collectively the church, the ecclesia, being the temple and housing the presence or the Spirit of God. You are the temple of God. Now keep in mind what he says in verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you people are. I think I'll stop there just for a moment. I want to speak to you today about defiling, building, and keeping the temple of God. I want to use as a text a passage of Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. He says, in whom you people at Ephesus, there's the word ye again, meaning you all. I think that's the best way to phrase it for us Tennesseans and Kentuckians. You all are the building, you are the inhabitation of God through the Spirit. We are the building. We're built together for a particular reason. He says you are built together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Building. We're going to be launching a building project here at Victory. I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. We're going to expand our sanctuary. We're going to blow out this left side. We're going to build a fellowship hall. We're going to have a larger facility to enter the church building and have a bigger vestibule and things of that nature. And we're going to take up a collection this afternoon. The church here is a church. The church is ran upon free will offerings. We do not collect monies through taxation. We don't have a public fund. We're not supported by the government. We have no taxation system in place. The church is supported by voluntary contributions. And I think that's the best way for a church to run and function, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's very scriptural. And perhaps some of us have been a little bit concerned and thinking that, well, we're biting off more than we can chew, or there's a lot to a building program. There's a financial sacrifice that we'll be making. But a monetary sacrifice that we make is nothing in comparison to the sacrifices we need to be making for the spiritual building of God. If there's one thing that God wants me to convey this morning that I got through meditation and through prayer, it is that we are to be more concerned about the spiritual issues than the physical issues. Amen. Now you look back through the Old Testament and there's a lot of things that we learn. We learn that God chose to manifest himself in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Actually, there was a place that God chose to reveal himself. God's visible presence and dwelling was there in the tabernacle. And of course, Solomon came along and he built a temple. And then that became the visible presence of God there in the Holy of Holies, there in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. But all of those things of the Old Testament, especially the tabernacle and the temple, were simply types. They were shadows of the true temple of God, which is the church of the living God. We are that building. And it's important for us to keep some things. It's important for us to make certain contributions in a spiritual way. Our spiritual contributions are more important than our physical. It's imperative for us to make sure that the house of God is not defiled. He that defiles the temple or destroys the temple, him God will destroy. And in this passage of scripture in the third chapter of Corinthians, of course, Paul was talking about the various divisions. You look there earlier in the chapter and he was talking about there was divisions among them. There were schisms. There were controversies. There was disharmony. And people, we need to stay close to God where we can stay close to one another. Amen. I made this comment on various occasions. You'll never see doves on the battlefield. No. No, you won't see doves on the battlefield. And the Holy Spirit was represented as a dove. He came down in the form of a dove upon Jesus Christ. Doves reside in a peaceful place. Amen. And the church needs to be a peaceful place where that the Holy Spirit might reside with us, abide with us, and be housed in us. Amen. Peace. There are spiritual contributions and spiritual sacrifices that we must make in order to maintain a place that God wants to reside. Amen. Many times that's difficult for us. Many times that's hard for us. But the visible manifestation of the presence of Jehovah, I believe today, is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. He visibly displays himself in the church. And through our service, through rendering service to the Lord, through our spiritual sacrifices, I'm afraid a lot of people don't understand the entry level requirements for being a church member. You know what the entry level requirements are? Self-denial and picking up your cross and following Jesus. Self-denial. Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must deny himself. He must pick up his cross and follow me. Cross-bearing and self-denial are entry-level position for church membership. So making some kind of sacrifice for the Lord, it should not be of any surprise to us being church members. making a spiritual contribution. If we're really bearing our cross, we should expect to make some kind of spiritual contribution that God might reside with us. The tabernacle and the temple, they were types. They were shadows of something spiritual, something heavenly. Today, there are a lot of people that don't understand what church is. We have a lot of confusion about what a church is. I'm afraid that we have become too attached to tangible things in our association with the word church. Come on now. We must be willing to leave the familiar without disturbing the essential things. People get attached to a particular place on the side of the road, a certain address, a building that sits here or there. And they associate that building with being the church. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but one of the churches on Main Street here in our community, they've removed their steeple. We have too many steeples that have become sacred. But they took their steeple off and they had something on their sign about, you know, come in and see the people, the steeple, where's the steeple, where's the people, kind of thing. And but a lot of people lose sight that the church is not brick and mortar.
Amen.
We begin to attach ourselves to physical, tangible things. And it's the result of spiritual depression. Every time Israel went into idolatry, it was because they were spiritually depressed.
Amen.
And they began to associate God with tangible physical things. God, let's listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Turn over to the fourth chapter of John just for a moment. God is a spirit. Amen. Yeah. He told the Samaritan woman, look there in like verse 22. Let me back up a little further. Let's look in verse 21. He said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain. Now, the Samaritans thought that God had chosen their mountain to be the place where he would reveal himself. God did reveal himself in the temple in Jerusalem. Amen. And I don't think you guys realize it, but when God moved his Shekinah glory from the tabernacle to the temple, they saw it. They saw it happening. If you've ever studied the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel kept seeing the glory, the Shekinah glory of God moving farther and farther away from Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost coming down on the church at the day of Pentecost was an indicator. A sign, if you will. It was displaying or showing the real place where God has chose to reside. Amen. And that is the church that Jesus established in his ministry.
Amen.
Jesus was telling this lady, she said, you know, you think it's this mountain. He said, when shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem, he said, worship the Father. He said, you worship ye know not what you know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But look at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You might look in Acts 17 and 24 when Paul was at Athens. He said this. He said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Can holiness really reside in a piece of wood? Can holiness really reside in a brick or in mortar? I guess our meeting house. And that's what this is, a meeting house. We're expanding our meeting house. If the church gets expanded, God will have to add to the church. Our meeting house is more like the thing that was constructed after the Babylonian captivity, the synagogues. More like that. A place of learning, a place of instruction. The Jews, after the Babylonian captivity, they constructed synagogues all over the place where Jews could gather and learn from the Word of God. But they did not substitute or take the place of the temple. The church is the spiritual temple of God.
Amen.
He says in these passages that there is a house. There's a house of God, a place where God resides. But it is not a physical structure. It is a spiritual temple. And he says in these passages, in whom you are. You are the building. You come together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. The house of God is built upon living stones. We have been made alive by the Spirit of God. We've experienced the grace through the shed blood of Jesus. We've been altered. We've been changed. We've been rearranged by Jesus. And we've been part of and made part of the church of the true and living God. And it's constructed of souls of men. And not physical, tangible things. But we are a divine building. And we have been purchased by His own blood. Now I realize that there are certain associations, certain sacred associations that we have with tangible things. I go back occasionally where I got saved, and that's a special place to me. We have a tendency to have those, and I think that's fine. The places where God has blessed us. Amen. But our prayer closets, those places where God has revealed Himself, places where we've experienced the blessings of God, they are better, they are greater, they're more important to us than the greatest cathedrals of this world. They are the very places where God comes down and His glory is made known. Amen. In our hearts and in our lives. Look like in the 28th chapter of Genesis. You remember Jacob? He was running from Esau and he chose a stone as his pillow. And as he was laying there in the night, he had a dream. He had a dream of a ladder and angels ascending and descending upon it. And he rose from that dream and he said, "This is the very house of God." And I didn't realize it. The very gate to heaven. And many times we become associated with tangible physical places. We become attached, I should say, to those tangible physical places when God or where God makes Himself known to us. Where we hold fellowship with God. Where God has revealed Himself and shown His power. But people, that can be on the side of a mountain. It can be in a barn. It can be in a car. It can be at home, be in a hospital, amen? It can be in a doctor's office. Those are places that become special to us, but they can be anywhere. And the church, when she comes together, she's not always looked this way. She's not always met in under conditions like we meet in. There are varying styles that you look at through the history of the church. Different places she's met in dens and caves through the years. Under persecution, there were various places that she met. And many times there was no singing involved when the church came together. They were very quiet, trying to hide from those that persecuted them and tried to destroy the church.
Amen.
But there's one thing that's never changed in the church, and that is she is the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
We must maintain the truth. And she has. She certainly has through the years. I've been teaching from the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. If you want to turn there on Wednesday night, I've been talking about how that we're to behave ourselves. Paul was writing to the young minister Timothy and telling him how that he was to teach the church at Ephesus how they were to behave themselves at the house of God. How they were to get along. How they were to worship. The doctrines they were to hold to. The covenant they had entered into. The kind of officers that were to be placed in the church and their qualifications. All those things are in there. How to behave at the house of God. Well, it's important for us to understand, first of all, what the church really is. Is it all the saved all over the world? No. Amen. That's not what he was saying. No, it's not. It is not all the saved all over the world. He specifically said, you people here at Ephesus, you people here at Corinth, it was a local working body of believers. Who had entered into covenant with one another for the advancement of the cause of Christ. Is the church today? A physical structure in a certain place? No, absolutely not. It is not. The house of God, the church of the living God that we speak of, is a congregation of baptized believers. Amen. It's the house of God. Whether they have a physical structure or not, they are the house of God. Amen. If they're meeting on the side of a hill, they're the house of God. If they're meeting in a cave, they're the house of God. Amen. If they're meeting on a street corner, they're the house of God. Amen. Yes. And they are joined together for the inhabitation of the Spirit. People, keep in mind, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And we are each one leaning upon Him. You must be attached to the cornerstone to be part of the church of the true living God. Without the cornerstone, we have no church. I thought about this, and when you think about the house of God, some people think it's just a bunch of heap of stones thrown together. No, she's a beautiful building. Yeah. And actually, you know, Paul made reference to himself there in Corinthians about being a wise master builder. But there's other places where it talks about where God is actually the designer and the wise master builder of the church. He put it together. He designed it. Before the foundation of the world, He chose a stone precious and elected and sure to be the chief cornerstone. Perhaps He searched through heaven, had all the angels go before Him and look at them. Maybe Gabriel and Michael and all the many host of heaven's angels, and concluded none of them could be the right kind of cornerstone for this building. Maybe He searched heaven and earth and saw there wasn't a man who could be the cornerstone that could bear all the weight of this great building. And then said, well, the only way to have the right cornerstone is for the cornerstone to be man and be God. In man, He could be just like all the other stones of the structure. And as God, He could bear all the weight. And thus Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, came to this world and made that amazing stoop and was born in the barn of Bethlehem. Came to be a sacrifice for our sins, went to Calvary and paid the sin debt and purchased to Himself a people and a bride. A building. I'll never forget the first house I bought. A little bitty cracker box over on Groff Avenue. And it's kind of amazing how we even was able to have the house. But you know, it was more than a house to me, because once Angie and I moved into that place, and we people just gave us furniture. We didn't have any money. Actually, I borrowed money to buy her a wedding ring. But borrowed it from her, actually. But
We didn't have any money. Yeah, they were like, kids were laughing about that the other night. I said, you want to get married? She said, yeah, let's go look at rings. We picked some rings out. I said, you got any money? She said, yeah, I got just so much money. I said, well, I don't have any. So she bought her own rings. I'll pay you back one of these days, honey. But people gave us stuff, you know. My aunt was getting rid of her curtains, so we got some curtains, you know. Somebody was getting rid of a couch, we got a couch, you know. And we furnished that place. And through furnishing it, it became our first home. Prior to us moving in, it was just a house. Oh, but when we took up residence there, it became our home. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, the church is the home of God.
Amen.
I know, I can't convey what I see in this. You are the temple. The people. The people are the temple. The people are the building for the habitation of God.
Amen.
The home of God. He took up residence on the day of Pentecost, amen. And he is still residing with his church.
Amen.
This is still his home. The home of the Holy Ghost. The home of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The place where sinners are convicted of their sins and brought to the place of repentance and faith. It's the work of the Holy Ghost, amen. You can't turn unless God helps you turn. You can't believe unless God helps you believe. It is by the working of the Holy Spirit His gospel is preached, and preachers can stand up here and they can flap their lips all they want to, speak words to you all they want to, but unless the Holy Ghost gets a hold of it and does a mighty work in the hearts of the people, it's just words.
Amen.
Oh, but when the Holy Ghost grabs hold of it, and it's like a sword, isn't it? It pierces deep down into the very core of people, lays them open. It divides soul and spirit and joints and marrows. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And everything's exposed before God, not through the preacher, but through the power of God.
Amen.
My home. I'll tell you, I was only 18. And I wanted my own home. Man, that was cool. We stayed up as late as we wanted to stay up. We wanted to go to the movie in the middle of the night. We just went to the movie. You know, we did whatever we wanted to do in our home. I wanted a dog. My mom would not have a dog in the house. Oh, she hates dogs. And I said, even before we got married, I got me a puppy. I'm going to have a dog in the house. That's what I want. That's my home. And I tell you, this is the house of God, and he is the one in charge. What he wants here is what needs to be placed here. Yeah, this is the home of God. And it's God's house, not my house. I have a house, and what goes on there is under my control. You know, I told my kids, you know, and even they may turn 19 or 20, but if they're in my house, this is my home, my laws, my rules, my regulations. Amen. It's my home. This is God's home. It's God's house. What a blessing it is to be part of the church of the true living God, to experience His blessings. There has never been a structure like this one. The church is made up of saved, blood-bought, spirit-filled souls of men, woven together, led by the Spirit to unite together in covenant.
Amen.
In the keeping of God's word and upholding the cause of Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel and funding this thing and working and serving the Lord. If all you've ever gotten out of church is sitting in a pew or going to a place, you know nothing about the true church of Jesus Christ. Oh, being a church member, where you're interwoven in people's lives, huh?
Will you share one another's burdens? Yes. We love the Lord and we're to love one another. We are founded in Christ. Every stone in this building must be on the cornerstone, which is Jesus. You have to be saved, born again of the Spirit of God, made anew, transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then every brick or every stone within this building must be connected together. One stone upon another. Amen. And the next. And the next. And the next. And any man that tries to destroy that, him God will destroy. Our connectedness joined together. Actually, we're to be of one mind and one accord. That means we are to be joined at the soul. Do y'all feel that? The church is joined spiritually, connected spiritually, even as a body is connected. Defiling. Anytime we defile ourselves as a church member, if we allow sin to dominate our lives, if we bring reproach upon Christ, we bring reproach upon the church. Amen. Amen. Sin can do it too. Separation. Things in our life that's not in harmony with the Word of God and the ways of God. Keeping. People, let's keep the building together. Let's expand the building as the Lord leads. But I'm not talking about the physical building. I'm talking about the spiritual building. Amen. Y'all with me? These are the important issues. That we stay focused on Christ. Amen. Amen. That we stay sound in doctrine. Amen. That we follow God's holy word. That we uphold Jesus to a lost and dying world. That they might be saved. Amen. And then we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we keep the ordinances in the church. Work, work, and work till Jesus comes. I appreciate your attention this morning. I know this is probably a message of familiarity. There's no greater institution on the face of the earth than this institution.
Amen.
And our connection with one another. Don't you feel it? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I feel it. I feel a sense of closeness and connection. I can go, and we should. I can go to each one of these people, and I know what's, you know, I think about things that's gone on in their lives and things in their homes and what's occurring now in their lives, and we're connected with one another. It's not some distant, far out, untangible institution out there that we're not connected with, not interwoven with. It's not an abstract. That's the word I want. It's not an abstract thing. Subjectively, we're connected. We're close. And people, let's keep that closeness with one another for the habitation and for the presence of God's Holy Spirit. I don't know. Some people just have the wrong concept of church. They really do. Keeping the building. From time to time, we may have some inconveniences, right? In the building project. But I want you, every time you see maybe a bulldozer over here or some dirt moved or a wall moved or this going on or some kind of disruption over here, I want you to think about examining the spiritual building.
Amen.
You look out over the church. I'm talking about the church building, the spiritual church building. And take a good look at it. We need to examine it. Look at its walls and its bulwarks. For Zion's sake, may these things always be intact. The true church. We may not always be here on Main Street. Ooh, I knew that would get you. May not. We don't know. And it really wouldn't matter. Would it really matter? Long as we stay together, we may not always be in this building. A tornado could come through here and take this building out. Would it destroy the church? No.
the spiritual building will never be destroyed. I appreciate your attention. God bless you is my prayer. If you're here today, let's just sing a song. Let's stand.